Hi, this is Drew, and thanks for listening to our podcast. Hopefully you've been enjoying our show for a while now, but if you're a brand new listener, then the next 50 seconds are not for you, so just go ahead and fast forward a bit. I just wanted to ask our longtime listeners to consider becoming patrons of The Drew Marshall Show, because by throwing us just a few bucks each month, you'll be helping what many tell us is the most brutally authentic spiritual show they've ever heard stay on the air. Look, as loyal podcast listeners, you've been getting the same programming our radio listeners have been hearing live Saturdays 1 to 5 for the last 16 years. Except you get to hear everything commercial-free, you smart consumer, you. Well, because of a brand new arrangement with our studio, our expenses have now gone through the roof. And to be brutally honest, we could use the help to cover those costs. So just before you go to bed tonight, maybe you could stop by our website and click on the giant click here to become a patron sign. And if a whole bunch of you were able to scrounge up like $4 per month, then individually your $4 would have just made a massive difference in helping us cover what it costs to bring you the Drew Marshall Show. Okay, that's it. Sorry to bug you. Now on with the show. I hope you have a good sleep tonight after you become a patron. All right, it's time for a little WTF on the Drew Marshall Show. That's where I chat with, a religion reporter from various news outlets. We catch up on the happenings in the world of religion and faith and cults.
Oh my.
Today's WTF guest is Jack Jenkins. He is a national reporter for Religion News Service, religionnews.com. These guys are like the, what do I say here now?
I was going to say, it must be a gentleman that we're interviewing, because there's only two names.
I know, all the other religion reporters who are girls have three names.
Three names.
What is that? Manya Bashir Pashman.
Paul Brandeis Rausch.
Oh, yeah, Paul Brandeis Rausch, but she's not there anymore.
All right.
Anyway, Jack, refresh my memory. We've had you on the show before, right? I mean, I've heard so much about you, I feel like we're pals.
Well, I have been on the show before. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me back.
But it's been a while.
It's been a minute.
Okay. All right. Tell everyone your beat. What do you cover?
So I delineate about two-thirds of it is the intersection of religion and politics broadly, and then a third of it is just Catholicism. But depending on the news cycle, sometimes it'll be 100% religion and politics, sometimes it'll be 100% Catholicism, and sometimes the Catholicism intersects with religion and politics, and I'm doing it all at the same time.
Wow.
Are you getting paid for every time I say the word Catholicism?
That was good. Listen, I was invited for the first time ever. I've only done the show for 16 years, but I was invited for the first time ever to the prayer breakfast, the White House prayer, the presidential prayer breakfast. Does the president even go to the prayer breakfast?
You're talking about the national prayer breakfast?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. That is a major event in the United States. Goes back to the mid-20th century. It's a hard ticket to get. Did you go?
No, because it wasn't free. I was like, I was all honored to be invited, and then I read down further, and it said, yeah, it's $100-something to go. I went, no thanks. So,
well, no, we just had that. It's a big seminal event in the United States. It's usually what happens is a president comes and delivers a speech, and that tradition has been around, again, since about the mid-20th century. And usually the president tailors, that speech to faith concerns or, talking about, various religious things. Obama, remember, talked about, different ways that you can heal within faith. And then, Trump has, spent most of his time this past year discussing. He actually kind of was on a more muted tone. He didn't spend a lot of his time making jabs at other members of Congress. But he did spend most of his time talking specifically about, issues that are really particularly interesting to conservatives, evangelicals who helped elect him in the first place. And so you saw a lot of conversations about abortion and mentioned religious liberty, and he talked about adoption agencies, that sort of thing. But I will note, the one thing about the prayer breakfast is that it's come under a lot of scrutiny in the last year, because the group that runs it, if you just watch it, it looks like two Congress people run it. There's a Republican and a Democrat that come together, Senator Lankford and Senator Coons at this point, who helped chair the prayer breakfast. There's actually this other organization called the International Foundation, also known as the Family, that runs it. They call it anonymity. Other people call it secrecy. They're very secret about what they do. And this past year, there was a person, or a few years ago, there was a person who went to the National Prayer Breakfast, and she was later arrested in 2018. Her name's Maria Bettina, under allegations that she tried to use the prayer breakfast, as well as many other things, like ties to the National Rifle Association, to try to influence American elections and American politics.
Hold on.
Yeah.
So this chick went to the prayer breakfast and then got arrested? Did you say that?
So she didn't get arrested at the prayer breakfast. She got arrested for things that she may have done at the prayer breakfast.
I didn't know they had the entertainment at the prayer breakfast. That's a little awkward. Jeez.
So this is the thing, is that most Americans just know the prayer breakfast if they know it at all. It's this thing where a president goes and gives a speech. The real story about the prayer breakfast is it's actually like several events, all of which happened under a close lid of secrecy and anonymity and privacy, whatever you want to call it, of people from all over the world who come or flown in for this breakfast. And it's often like there are heads of state there from other countries. There are major dignitaries. And when the Department of Justice apparently arrested this woman and charged her with trying to improperly influence American elections on behalf of Russia, one of the myriad of things they charged her with was trying to forge a meeting with Russian nationals and President Trump a couple years ago, right after he got elected, basically try to gain the prayer breakfast to enhance the national interests of Russia.
Wow.
So it's become this whole thing where the people have written books about this whole organization that runs it, but one of the lingering questions that is often set out there was, if you were a bad faith actor, pun intended, you could easily exploit this prayer breakfast because it can get you really close to power and potentially the president, him or herself.
Yeah, well, it'd be like if Kirk Cameron showed up and tried to do another movie. He should go to prison for that too,
I'm sure he's got a few more films in him. I'm sure he's wearing it.
I hope Melania doesn't end up getting pregnant because it's going to be really, really embarrassing when they name their kid Putin. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
It's just going to be awkward. You got a weird thing going on down there. So here's the thing that I read in one of your articles. Trump strikes muted tone at National Prayer Breakfast, plays up evangelical interests, and here's the quote, "I will never let you down. I can say that. Never," Trump said to the attendees at the religious gathering. So he pulled little Taylor Swift there and said, "I will never, ever, ever, ever let you down, ever."
Or he just rip-rolled.
Yeah.
I was about to say, or Rick Astley, the other. Actually, a little peek behind the curtain. My editor and I went back and forth about whether or not to quote Rick Astley in that lead. And ultimately, cooler heads prevailed, but I really wanted to say, never going to let you, give you up. Never going to let you down.
Yeah.
Never
going
to turn on them, desert you.
Yeah.
So
it's like a swearing, a swear jar. Every time you swear, you put a loony in. Every time Rick Astley's name is mentioned on the show, Tim has to put $50 in. That's why I didn't bring it up. So
and
thank
Catholicism.
You.
Sorry, Tim.
And Catholicism.
It's all good, brother.
Hold on. What I'm confused with, because I don't get how you guys down there wrap your Bible in your flag, and it's gross. And so I'm trying to figure out if the Jesus people are still on board with Happy Hair Trump or not. Are they digging him? Are they not digging him? Do they, and how do they justify digging him when he does things that are pretty gross? I think I've said that word twice now. Okay, go.
So this is one of the pivotal questions for religion journalists who cover anything related to politics is, explaining particularly white evangelical Protestants, because that's who you're really talking about in terms of who really, helped elect Trump and has stuck by his side throughout it all. There's a myriad of different explanations for that. The one that I have been, that I've seen, resonate most is this idea of Christian nationalism. And without boring you for too much to explain, the broad-based explanation of what that is, people who might answer the question, do you think America should be a Christian nation? And say yes. And you ask, do you think there should be prayer in schools? And they say yes. And they're like, do you think you should be able to teach the Bible in schools? And they say yes. And, you know, the really intense versions of that are people who believe that the Constitution is essentially, you know, written almost as a scriptural document, things like that. But the everyday evangelical, you know, they might just see this almost identity. It's not so much a theological argument or religious argument. It's an identity of saying, you know, I have a cross on my wall and a Bible in the corner of my room, and I stand for the national anthem. And that is part of their identity. And Trump, despite what he might do in his personal life, despite what he might say that would be abhorrent to the average evangelical pastor, he still checks those boxes for that Christian nationalist identity. And you'll see, if you watch his rhetoric, he will you know, definitely touch on those points. You know, the fact that he's talking about the national anthem in football games all the time, despite the fact that, for the record, many of those football players who are kneeling will cite their faith as one of the reasons that they are kneeling against, racism, you know, trying to protest racism.
Right.
But Trump, he's speaking to this conservative Christian, overwhelmingly white subset of American Christianity that, honestly, you know, they either don't really care because they see him as one of their own, reflecting their identity, or what you often hear as well, particularly from the evangelical elite, is that it's kind of a transaction where, you know, they see him as this a version of a biblical figure like King Cyrus, who might have been personally terrible, but they did things that God wanted, like putting Supreme Court justices on the bench who are conservative.
Right, but hold on. Here's where I get weird on this, even weirder.
Okay.
Is it seems in the last month there have been abortion laws relaxed in the states that would suggest that the deal with the devil, I mean the evangelicals that Trump has made, the evangelicals want a president that's going to not relax on abortion laws, right? And yet it seems that those abortion laws are relaxing. So who's freaking out here?
So that's a good question. So I will note the state level stuff isn't something that the president can control. When these are state laws. But there is this question of, you know, putting these justices on the Supreme Court is what they're really concerned about. The evangelicals in particular, white evangelicals, really can care about the Supreme Court and wanted to vote specifically so they could affect it. So there's a lot riding on, in particular, the decisions that Brett Kavanaugh might make in this coming and upcoming court, because, you know, they just had this recent decision on abortion in Louisiana, where the Supreme Court basically said, we'll let this relaxing of abortion laws there continue until it makes it to the Supreme Court. And people were like, didn't expect that. They would assume that, you know, this now more conservative leading Supreme Court would have weighed in immediately. But, you know, that also, they might just be biding their time until the case arrives at the Supreme Court to suddenly gut abortion rights in the United States. But it's important to note that Brett Kavanaugh wrote a scathing dissent of the Supreme Court's decision to do that over the weekend, basically saying, no, I wish we could stop this, these abortions. I wish we could, you know, help them out. And I think evangelicals see that as something that's more crucial. And trust me, I was at the March for Life, which is this big anti-abortion march that happened, last month. And that there were just scores of people there who were wearing Make America Great Again hats and coats. And when the president sent a televised address to that gathering, the crowd lost it. So he doesn't seem to, as long as he keeps saying that he wants to support abortion rights, and he's pushing a conservative justices in the courts, they're happy.
Man, we need to get you on more. You know, I forgot that you were smart. I just forgot. So sorry. And it just,
I don't think I'm smart, but I certainly have been forced to learn quite a bit about these sorts of things, and you do it every day.
I can imagine, man. I can imagine. Yeah, dude, seriously, we need to get you back. That time just flew by. Our WTF, I don't know why I'm saying it like that. Our WTF.
Because he's marking.
Our WTF, now it doesn't work, guest, Jack Jenkins, National Reporter for Religion News Service. The website is religionnews.com. It is basically the source for religion news. These guys do an incredible job of covering all things religion, faith, and cults.
Oh, my.
Thank you, Tim. And Jack, you can type his name in there, and you can read all of his articles, including some of the stuff we talked about today. Dude, I hope you have a great weekend, man. Thanks for chatting with us, Jack.
Thanks so much for having me. Y'all have a good one.
We're going to Rickroll you out, baby. See you, dude. Bye-bye. Baby, dude, I'm so hip. I'm a cat.
You are beyond hip. You're more like pelvis.
Dysplasia.